Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kathy, he gave us a gift, so I can't complain too much. This is from a party that cannot even define a woman, and they define a woman. You know, what do you think about what Mark Cuban said, and the does it really have an impact as the Vice President Harris now splaining Biden with his garbage, you know, first in the beginning of the week, the garbage statement, and now this?
Mark Cuban, I mean, you're so right. I was laughing on your intro because he's not a biologist. Is he even allowed to define what a woman is? I don't think on their side of the aisle, if you're not credentialed, that you're even allowed to even, you know, determine who's a woman, who's not. But Mark Cuban, he's irrelevant, and you know, and unfortunately, he really wants to be inside the quote unquote cool kids club. He is peddling his wares everywhere he goes. He's just going from one show to another, and he's just spouting off, you know, what he believes the other side wants to hear. And because there's very little fact checking that's done on the other side, they allow him to say these things. He gets a pat on the head and people applaud, and he feels good about himself, right? But we know it's false. I saw him the other day talking about when Donald Trump left office, inflation was the highest it has ever been. That's a blatant lie. Mm-hmm. When Donald Trump handed over the economy to Joe Biden in 2020, what was it? Yeah, 2021. Mm-hmm. It was the inflation was at 1 point. I think it either was 1.6 or 1.8%. But again, he's irrelevant. Who cares? I'm more concerned with these numbers that are coming out of early voting.
And concern about the numbers. We were talking earlier this morning, Kathy, on Kale and Company about the, I think it was an NBC analysis, but I think everybody was picking up on the same thing, that the issue of women voters, is that what you're concerned about, or what?
Well, I mean, issues with women voters only because, you know, there are a number of white progressive women who are just hell-bent on aborting their children. And so to that extent, with that narrative, yes, I feel, you know, a little bit concerned. But I'm just looking at just kind of the early voting. Now, what's encouraging is that when you look at the early voting, the number of Republicans who are early voting this year in 2024 versus 2020 is up 8%. That's a good thing. The number of Democrats this year versus 2020 is down 7%. My concern comes in when I look at that, we're up 8%. How many of those 8% are low propensity voters versus people who are already going to vote next week? But because one of the strategies coming out of the Republican Party is vote early, and they're sending people like me a text encouraging me to vote early, although I'm a sure vote, That is my concern. And when I look at the breakdown by counties, I'm looking at the number of, you know, our strategy should have been chasing down these mail-in ballots, but I'm looking at the final numbers that are coming in, and there are a lot of Republicans who did not return their mail-in ballots. So will we see those people next week? I don't know.
Well, part of it is, and I know that the lawsuit that was filed, and this was filed in Bucks County, so that because they rightfully filed the lawsuit in Bucks, because it was viral, we were talking about it all week, that people, you know, were standing in line for hours in Bucks, could not vote, even though they were in line before 5. And thank you to the judge who rightfully said, okay, you're going to have until Friday 5 p.m. I would submit to everybody that I wish they had filed that and made it so for Delaware County and Montgomery County, because there were issues in both of those counties. But I just think it means, Kathy, that a lot of people, even if they got the mail in, they either stood in line or saw the lines, and now they said, nah, you know what, I'm just going to vote on November 5th. At least that's what we hope, right?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, and we can hope, and I am certainly praying, fasting, hoping that, you know, that we must win. And this is such a consequential election. I wish we could go off of something a little bit stronger than a hope right now, mm-hmm. because we've had since 2020 to correct some of the very things we're watching play out once again. I ran mm-hmm. in 2020. That was my first time ever running for office. I lived through 2020. I know exactly what they did. I've never wavered that it was theft. Democrats stole the election. Now, they didn't steal the election with just one thing. I call it a theft by a thousand cuts. It was everything. These people right. are so diabolical. They had every base covered, one of them being what they did in 2020. They just had these malign-looking people standing outside with a little lanyard on talking about, I'm here to help you. Mm-hmm. And because I'm Black, I guess they assumed I was a Democrat, so they came over just very eager to help me back in 2020. Guess what? They have these exact same people out there today. So it's not as if we don't know what Democrats are doing. I'm just, you know, I mean, we're locked into the strategy. It's too late to do anything different. I am just very hopeful. I wish we could go off of something a little bit more hopeful, meaning that Republicans would have learned our lessons from 2020 on and would have put a lot of things in place.
But part of it, I think, Kathy, is first of all, I think that the lawyers, the GOP, you know, RNC lawyers like Linda Kearns, I talked to her yesterday, but she's, you know, we interview her all the time just to get the updates, but they've filed more than 100 lawsuits and including the one in Bucks County that was a win, but they have had some significant wins and they're also keeping these individuals on their toes. You don't think that has had an impact?
Well, hopefully, right? Well, we will see. I mean, you and I are watching the long lines. Yeah. We're watching people being intimidated. We're watching people being told to leave, to go to another location, and people are scurrying around trying to figure out where to do it. So, okay, great. But I'm just saying this is what we're watching. And Donald Trump must win. I believe all of our chips are, you know, we're locked into the strategy now. Coming from the Republican higher-ups, and I'm just hopeful at this point, which, you know, there's very little else we can do.
I also think, and the reason, you know, I have to say I cringe when anybody says 2020 was stolen. The reason I cringe is that I worry, and you and I know people, Kathy, I worry about this, that people say, you know what, my vote doesn't count. They're going to, quote unquote, steal this again. So what I often will say is last time around, I do think Republicans, even at the state level, agreeing to loosening the rules. I think they've tightened those up as far as mail-in balloting. And as well, you have a lot of these RNC lawyers. I would prefer to say Republicans and we all got played. And I think this time, I will say the RNC lawyers at least have been smarter about it and filing these and watching it. But you know what else, Kathy? I think everybody is so passionate about it. What I saw was we the people, grassroots. That is what provoked these lawsuits and created tangible evidence. And so if everybody, even on Tuesday, go to the polls, I keep saying, make sure your phone is charged. And if anything, whatever's going on, record it. Make sure that you're rolling, you're recording, walking in there. If somebody's intimidating you, put it out on X, on all social media, and call it out immediately so that it can be investigated. Because I think people are sick of getting played.
I absolutely agree from the perspective of the grassroots. I think the grassroots has had it. Yeah. And I think we're going to see a different group of Republican voters show up on next Tuesday, whereas in 2020, I remember very clearly people being told to leave even during the counting of the ballots, and people just walked out and just, you know, didn't didn't stand their ground in their position with their authority to actually view the counting of the ballots. This is what I mean by theft by a thousand cuts.
Yes.
It was just a number of little things that just kind of culminated in something really shady going on in 2020. Yep. And I believe this time around, next Tuesday and the days following that, we're going to see a different group of people on the ground. And so, but it's locked in. I am excited. I will be one of those people who will be voting on the day of. I am voting strictly Republican all the way down the ballot because I believe what the Democrats are offering is just untenable. Who in their right mind would vote for open borders? Who in their right mind would vote for these, you know, I've been doing a lot of reporting on this Venezuela gang, the TDA, that's coming in and taking over whole apartment complexes, raping and murdering people. Oh. I mean, who in their right mind would vote for that?
Kathy, there was just a 5-year-old little girl raped in New York.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it's the same story. An illegal person who they had arrested was in custody at one point, and they let him out. And it's just a 5-year-old little girl. And these stories are headlining. I'm looking at USA Today that you have these scooter robberies. You have Venezuelan gangs. You have these, so these stories are front and center for people. How much of an impact do you feel that is going to have?
Well, I mean, again, I think for those who are aware, it's going to have a great impact. So people like you and I, we're going to be there. These things are in the forefront of our mind, the transitioning of our children, the indoctrination of our children. These things are in the forefront of our mind. However, you really do have, and it is true, we have a segment of the population that, I mean, I don't know if you saw the latest Kamala Harris commercial where the wives are being encouraged to be conniving towards their husband. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, again, it's conniving, it's evil. It's like, who would intentionally harm their own family? And yet, this is one of their campaign strategies.
I think it's
to encourage women to be conniving.
But do you think, as far as women who are, you know, the white woke suburban woman, right? I don't see these women being silent or feeling like they have to be. I see the opposite. Usually the husband's like, I don't want to talk about politics with my wife or my girlfriend. But I don't even think it rings true. Do you think it rings true?
Which part? That they're conniving?
Yeah. No, I mean, in the commercial, it's saying, it's like, don't ask, don't tell.
You know what?
Vote.
I mean, like, they're just creating a narrative, right? They're creating a narrative that people like you and that you and I are garbage, that we're deplorable.
Yeah.
That if Donald Trump is Hitler, as Harris has accused him of being, what does that make you and I? Mm-hmm. Hitler was a Nazi. So what did that make his supporters? And so they are creating narratives about who we are, that you and I are weak and stupid women. And then, and likewise, they are creating another narrative that for these woke white suburban women, that their husbands are Fred Flintstone, and that he's dragging them by their hair. And he's forcing them to vote a particular kind of way. That's not true. But unfortunately, I believe there are some women who believe this stuff. And I would just encourage, if you have a white, suburban, woke, progressive woman in your family, in your life, pick up the phone, bring some coffee, sit down, and have the uncomfortable conversation. Do it with a smile on your face, but get in their face, as one of the black Democrat congresswomen said. Get in their face. Make them listen to you as a family member. Sit down. Have that conversation with them.
I want to ask you about something, because Greg Stocker, my boss, and, you know, Kale and Company co-host, teases me that I keep bringing up some different voters, such as the Amish community. So we know that the Amish community makes up, in the Commonwealth, I believe we have the largest Amish community in the nation.
We do.
92,000. Friends keep telling me that the Amish are activated. That the I know that Don Jr. when he was here, he was, you know, they've been stumping in Amish country. So do you think that the Amish vote could tip the balance here?
It did with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, for the past maybe 8 years, my family and I, we drive out to this Amish family home, and we have been purchasing our meat from them for like the past 7 or 8 years. And I have a great relationship with those within the Amish community. When I was running in the 2022 race, I went to the Amish community. They brought me in this room. It was standing room only Amish people. And they introduced me as, "She has our values." These people are very, contrary to what you may think, these people are very intelligent. They are on top of what the issues are, and they recognize that there is a very real threat if someone like a Hillary Clinton or someone like a Kamala Harris should take office. There's a real threat to their way of life, and to protect their way of life, they did come out in 2016 and voted against Hillary Clinton for Donald Trump. And I believe when I talk to these people today, they're talking about the issues. They're more up to speed on the issue than most people I run into and talk to on a daily basis. They understand what the issues are, and they're very aware of the threat.
And some of the billboards, even there's one right now that it's a big blue billboard, and it just says, "Pray for God's mercy for our nation." It has the kind of straw vote that they, or straw hat that they wear with a vote like banner on it, call for, you know, telling them to please, you know, apply, make sure they're registered. And so I just wonder how much, you know, I had reported, for example, on Amos Miller, the farmer who was raided by the feds. And then as soon as that case ended, raided by the state, I mean, with these SWAT looking, you know, they looked like they were SWAT team, you know, armed to the gill, had raided the farm, shut down Amos's farm. And I felt like, man, this community, they must have felt invaded by the government, state government, federal, right? I mean,
And let me tell you, I have never seen sweeter people. Yeah. I mean, my children have worked on their farms with them. They have done a little homeschool outings for us. We've had dinner with them in their home. When we drive up, they put my children on their little wagons and they go up and down the road. I mean, just a beautiful group of people who have a very definitive worldview about themselves and their place in the world. And let me tell you, we have the largest Amish community here in Pennsylvania. They are very aware, and they will be voting. I know that as a fact. And so don't count them out, Greg. They are listening and they are paying attention. And I earnestly believe that they are going to be voting. They did in 2016. I will never forget that. I was a part of that community at that time. So I remember the conversations they were having.
And then what about the Christian vote? Because we've seen a Christian vote, senior citizen vote. So for Christians, I keep seeing all these studies, and also Second Amendment people, 30% of gun owners just don't vote. Christians, and I'm talking about specifically born again Christians who say, I guess maybe they've lost faith in the system. I'm not really sure, but do you think that we will see higher numbers among those groups?
I am hopeful. Again, I am hopeful. You know, again, this is reason. I mean, listen, to go door to door and to do an earnest grassroots effort. I mean, I spent 1,500 miles every single week when I ran for U.S. Senate. That is a grind. It is not sexy. It is not, you know, no one knows your name. You're not all over television and you don't really fundraise a whole lot off of it. So I understand why Republican consultants would not, you know, be really into it. But we have to get in front of these people. Again, it's too late for the early voting, but each and every one of us, you look around you. I would tell people all the time, make a cup of coffee, go across the street, talk to your neighbor. We have to talk to our neighbor. This concept of a silent majority is ridiculous, and I believe it is a counter strategy from the left to make us think we have to just be silent and grin all day. No, make a cup of coffee, go across the street to your neighbor, talk to five neighbors between now and next Tuesday, and make sure people, if they have any questions, if they have any concern, especially these Christians, especially the ones who want to clutch their pearls, because only they are perfect and no one else is, and they can't abide by voting for an imperfect person. We're all imperfect. There was only one perfect person, and we're not electing Donald Trump to be Jesus or to be our Christian pastor or our Pope or our bishop. We're not asking him to do any of that. What we're asking him to do are very unique things. That is to uphold the U.S. Constitution. That is to defend us domestically by securing our border, and that is to exude strength around the world.
Yes.
Right now, Dawn, I can name 17 different wars just off the top of my head that America is involved in one way or the other all across the world. We are literally in World War III. No one's just talking about it because they want you to believe aborting your child is the number one issue. It's not. We have very real issues right now, and you being able to abort your child just simply isn't one of those top three issues. But we have some very real issues, and it's going to pivot one way or the other almost immediately once this election is over. So we need to get very real, very serious. We need to get the fear of God in us and start walking outside talking to our neighbors.
Amen. Preach it. Kathy Barnett, until next time, my friend, thank you so much.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.